A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Dori Shafrir.
I'm Kate Spencer.
And we're not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about old serums.
And this here is a mini episode where we hear from you, share your comments and thoughts, and answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And while we do love doing that, we do ask that you remember that we are not experts. We're just podcast hosts. So we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
And if you want to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390. And our old email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Well, we are starting off with a follow-up email.
I love a follow-up.
I do too. And when we got this email, you forwarded it to me and just wrote, I love this.
I did. I did and I do.
Same.
Great.
This, as you may recall, if you listen to our mini episodes in consecutive order, we had a listener weigh in about maintaining friendships. They were on a hike with a child and a dog, and they called us, so they were a triple tasker. And it sparked a lot of conversation.
Well, she said in the voicemail that she is not someone who ever initiates hanging out with friends. And that she's very busy, and a lot of times she just waits for people to reach out to her, and that's just how her life is.
Yes.
And I responded pretty strongly to this.
You did.
And our listeners responded pretty strongly to this.
That is true.
And now the hiker herself has responded to the responses.
And before we even read their email, I just want to say thank you, triple tasking hiker, for being a person who sparked conversation.
Yes.
For weighing in, for following up. It's very weird and vulnerable, I imagine, to have a voicemail or an email read on a podcast.
Totally.
And we are really grateful for it.
Yes, we are indeed.
And now we are going to read their response. Dear Kate and Dori, I am the triple tasking hiker, and I'll admit I was in a spacey headspace when I left that message. When I called in a couple months ago, my intention was to let the person searching for friends know that often if others don't initiate hangouts, that this isn't a reflection of his or her worth or value as a person or friend. I think I may have gotten that point across despite the message I left. I have learned through this interchange that I need to stop and think more about what I say before calling in, hence the email. I was pretty vague about my life because I was trying to respond to the first caller and have a habit of talking too much about myself, which I am working on. In the process, though, I made myself out to be some kind of monster that I don't believe I am. I just want to say, don't think you sounded like a monster. Nor do you have I have ADHD. I do not regularly flake on friends. I have also felt the pain of wanting friends and struggling to make them. The relevant context for my life is that until about 2 months ago, I shared a car with my partner who uses it to commute to work, where he has an unpredictable schedule. This means that I had to do all the daycare drop-off, pick up, doctor visits, sick days, and my own full-time job by foot and bus. I also live an hour from friends and work. So during the first year to 15 months after having my son, it was logistically really hard for me to plan ahead. I never knew when I would have access to a vehicle or childcare outside of work hours, and I felt guilty asking friends to always drive to visit me. I say this not because I want some kind of tiny violin serenade, but this is the context that I should have provided in the first place. However, after I hadn't really thought about this before hearing Dory's suggestion that I think more deeply about why I said I never reach out to people. I'm happy to say that I have a car now and I have made friends in my own town whom I can see more regularly. But after hearing everyone's impassioned responses and the pain that my words caused, I realized that I would have done a better service to my friends in the other town by simply saying, I'm so sorry. These are the constraints on my life right now. I know that you have your own things going on, but maybe we can do a Skype date with a glass of wine. Parentheses. I've done this. It's fun. I'm so sorry. I can't be more available right now, but I care about our friendship. The finality of saying that you aren't available to do things you used to do is kind of hard, and I think it is easier to keep rescheduling, but perhaps better to rip off the Band-Aid. And then this listener also wanted to say, I understand if you don't have time to read this on the air.
Oh, we had time.
We do, but I needed to write this because I love you, Forever 35, you ladies in the community. Well, thank you. We love you too. It has been a great source of company for me since I started listening about a year and a half ago. Thanks for pushing me to think through the impact of my inaction.
This is a very mature listener.
Well, I also just want to say,
and thoughtful response.
Yeah, thank you for offering up more information and a really thoughtful way of handling this conversation and friendships.
Yeah, I love this response that she is going to send to her friends in the other town.
I do too, and I also love the idea of a Skype date.
Yes.
I have been in your shoes in many ways, listener, not without a car, but just kind of that feeling of being trapped in a location and unable to leave due to mm-hmm. your work and life circumstances. And I think that's a really smart solution.
Yes, I agree. And also, you know, when she says, thanks for pushing me to think through the impact of my inaction, I think that's also really important because I think oftentimes we think about the impacts of our actions, but we don't think about the impacts of our inactions and how sometimes not doing something can be just as hurtful as doing something.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Yeah. That's very, very thought provoking.
Well, we appreciate you. We appreciate you listening and weighing in and also being the source of such an interesting and complex conversation on this show.
Yes. Oh,
Who
my goodness.
Knew?
Who knew?
But we really do appreciate it. So thank you very much. And I hope you're still hiking out there with your dog and your kid.
Same. We have another follow-up.
I love follow-ups.
I love a follow-up.
Dory.
This was another email that was the topic of much conversation.
Yeah.
So this listener writes, Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm the caller who reached out in February about my friend who kissed my crush on New Year's Eve.
It's mini episode 48.
Remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The second I read that line, I was like, I remember you.
Yeah. Thank you for playing my voicemail and giving me such good insight. It's been about 10 months since that night, and we haven't had any contact. After her initial apology text that felt insincere and dismissive, she never reached out again. Side note, I found out about a month after I called the pod that she had messaged the guy I liked. That was the nail in the coffin that solidified my decision to cut her off. That said, I've recently been thinking a lot about this friend. Let's call her Jane. I don't necessarily miss her, but rather our friendship. This time last year, I was very stressed out and experiencing a lot of change, but I felt invigorated and excited about life. Jane was there through it all. She was always such a good listener and sounding board, cared deeply about what was going on in my life, and made it clear that I was a priority to her. I think that's why her actions on New Year's hurt so much, and perhaps the reason I was so quick to cut her out. I was definitely an imperfect friend, but I truly can't fathom ever doing that to my best friend. The betrayal just felt so personal and intentional. I think I'm just barely starting to really mourn our friendship, and I don't know how to handle it. I don't see how I could ever be friends with Jane again, so I'm not sure if I should be reopening this wound in an attempt to get closure or work to find closure within myself. Do you or any other listeners have any advice on how to process these feelings and get closure?
You know, I will tell you, I had a really close friendship that ended, oh my gosh, like 17 or 18 years ago now. And I still mourn it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think closure, I don't know if there's ever going to be a day where you're like, well, I'm done with that friendship and I feel good about all of it and I can walk away. You know, grief over these friendships that end and relationships that end can go on forever. And that's
yeah.
okay.
And sometimes the grief won't go on forever. Like,
fair point.
These are all different. Like, I certainly have friendships that have ended that I never think about.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when the person gets brought up, I'm like, oh yeah, that person that I used to be friends with. But then there are others where I'm like, it's still painful. So it just, you know, you don't know. And I think allow yourself that space to grieve it. And I think that I would say, yeah, like allow yourself that space, allow yourself to mourn it. And without kind of I don't think you have to like relive what happened to mourn it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you have to go through everything that Jane did and your response to it to be like, I am sad about this person who I used to be friends with not being in my life anymore.
I mean, I also think that if you want to rehabilitate this friendship, that's another choice. Like, people do shitty things, and it doesn't necessarily mean they are shitty people. Sometimes we make really bad decisions.
I feel like this conversation kind of happened the last time we discussed this, and I definitely came down on the side of like, this person is a shitty person.
And I was the one who's like, give him a chance.
Yeah.
I guess we don't have the full context, but this listener describes how this friend Jane was so there for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we also don't know how you've been there for Jane. That would be interesting to hear, you know, kind of how you showed up for them too. But
well, and this person does also say, I was definitely an imperfect friend.
Mm.
So there's probably another side to this story that we're not hearing. Yeah. I mean, there definitely is another side to the story that we're not hearing.
Right.
But that's not to say that you deserved like what happened to you at all.
No, of course not. I just think that sometimes, you know, I look back on decisions I've made and ways I've hurt people, and I'm not proud of them. And I don't think it, you know, I've done work on myself to try to be better. So I wonder, you know, perhaps that's what your friend Jane is going through as well.
Totally. But if our listeners have suggestions about this, I would love to hear them.
Yeah. And I should also say sometimes friendship can cool off and you can find each other again when you're both in better places in your lives.
Totally. So continuing on the topic of friendship.
Woo.
I know.
We just dug right in.
We really.
The beginning of this episode.
We really did. And I like it. Do you want to read the email?
Yes, I'll read this
Okay, great.
This is another email from a listener. Last year, I got an email from a person I used to be very close with, which honestly shocked me to my core. We were very close in school, but after graduating, moved to separate cities. We kept in touch through visits, texts, and calls. I was invited to her wedding and was excited to attend, but came down with the flu 2 days before. I sent my apologies with an explanation and a gift, but after that, she was slow to answer my texts and return calls, and after a while, I just quit trying. I was sad, but realized that many school friendships naturally come to a close after big life changes. Years later, she sent me an email full of hatred. I never used that word, but honestly, some of the things she said were totally shocking to me, and the amount of anger in the email was really overwhelming, especially since at the time I thought of us as friends who had just lost touch. Apparently, she spent these past years being angry with me for missing her wedding, but she also took many paragraphs to outline all the things that she feels are wrong with me. I took some time before I wrote back and tried to respond kindly. I said that her message had shocked me and that I had no idea she felt this way. I reminded her that I hadn't attended her wedding because I was not only sick but contagious and that I had been incredibly sad to miss it. I said I wished she had brought all these things up sooner so that instead of spending so much time being angry with me, we could have talked it out. She didn't reply. It's been a year since the email and I thought I had moved on. I have a really great group of close friends, a fulfilling career, and a generally happy life. However, the other day I became aware that in a bizarre twist of fate, she has moved to the same town as me. Realizing this brought up all those terrible feelings. I know Dory has mentioned a similar email in her past, and I'm just wondering, how do I move on from this? I thought I had, but now I find myself worried that we'll run into each other, and I dread the idea of an encounter with someone who clearly hates me.
Oh
boy.
Yeah. The moving to your town.
I have this gives me so much anxiety.
Yeah.
Because I'm so deathly afraid of confrontation.
Yeah.
I would say to you, listener, assume that you will run into this person.
Totally.
You live in a town. I mean, even when I lived into New York, in New York, I would run into people. So chances are you will run into them. Have a thing you're going to say planned. Just like work it all out in your head. If you see the person, say, you know, whatever it is, just I would just keep things short, pleasant, and move on.
I was going to say that too. I was going to say that is not the time to dissect, you know, what happened in your friendship. I think you can just say, hi, and, you know, hi, nice to see you, or
yes,
or not even say nice to see you, or, you know, I just think you can keep it civil on your end.
Yeah.
And that's all you can do.
I think, I mean, we obviously don't know the ins and outs of your friendship with this person, but for someone to send you a very angry email, you to respond, and then for them not then just to let it die, to me, that's like, they don't deserve your time. They weren't interested in working on your friendship together. They were interested in just like burning you.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I don't know. I think you can just say like, oh, hello, I heard you moved to town. I hope you're doing well here. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you, Dory, interacted with the person who sent you the email that was kind of like listing their grievances?
I have not seen her IRL since that happened. We don't live in the same city.
Yeah.
We have a lot of mutual friends, but we don't live in the same city. So, you know, I don't see her. But I think if I still lived in New York, I would probably run into her all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I had kind of a lot of anger towards someone, and I kind of ended our relationship. And I think if I were to run into them now, it would be fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, things come out in these horrible bursts. But yeah, listener, I think just like protect yourself and your emotions and your energy and save it for this other, the wonderful life and career that you and friends that you do have.
Yeah. Whew. Well, we're going to take a short break.
Let's digest all that.
Okay, let's do
it back.
All right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use. And I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you. Okay, we are back.
I love how you say that.
Well, you know, I just want people to be excited, as excited as I am.
You enunciate every word and it just brings me joy every time.
Why, thank you. We got an email from a listener about our dupes episode.
Look, I just want to say, I think at some point down the road, we got to do dupes too.
Oh, we got to do dupes 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Dupe and duper, right? Like, we've got to... There's so many dupe sequels.
Dupe and duper. Dupes back.
Dupinator do.
Dupe act 2, back in the habit. That's my favorite sequel title, by the way.
Sister act 2.
Sister act 2, back in the habit.
That is a good one.
Well, you know, I like a pun.
I know you do. Good movie too. We really had fun doing the dupe episode.
We did.
And we just got this one email that I thought we could address this.
Yeah.
They wrote, "I'm still thoroughly confused about which serum to try. I'm over 50, dry skin that can be sensitive at times. I got a sample of good genes and think it was too much. ... redness after using. There are just so many serums and I want one that is not more than $50 if that is possible. Recommendations, please."
Well, we have some recommendations.
And we both went to the same line, which is good old The Ordinary.
Yeah.
I think The Ordinary's buffet serum would meet all your needs. People love it. Mm-hmm. I've tried it. I really like it. It has hyaluronic acid, which would be good for dryness. It's got a lot of peptides in it, which can help with fine lines.
Love a peptide.
Can help brighten your skin. And also, I think peptides calm skin. So if you've got redness... You might just want to pep
at time. You, Dr. Kate Spencer,
dermatologist
at your service.
Hello. Dory, thoughts from you?
Well, I also suggested The Ordinary. They also make a straight up hyaluronic acid serum that people do love, and it costs $6.80.
Yeah, and I think the buffet is like $14.
Yeah, so you know, both within your price range.
Yes.
Also, Paula's Choice, which... you know, has come up several times on this pod.
Listener fave.
They make a hyaluronic acid booster. I have not used this, but I'm intrigued. It is apparently a gel, and you can use it in addition to your serum and moisturizer.
Ooh.
It's just a booster.
That sounds nice.
And it's $36. So I might try it myself.
Well, we both talked about how we want to dip our toes into Paula's Choice.
We did.
But
I don't want to put the booster on my toes.
You know what?
That would be a waste.
Can you imagine if we were seruming our toes?
I mean, people must do it. I bet J-Lo does it.
Oh, gosh. She must probably put Agustinus Botter. Did I say
it right? I think she has said she uses La Mer all over her whole body.
No. Well, they do make body creams. Can you imagine?
I mean, look at her.
Although, listen, she is doing something right.
All right. So, listener, I hope those suggestions are helpful. And please keep us posted.
And report back if you try any of them.
Yep. Let us know.
Also want to say, if there's a Sephora sale, you can get that stuff, you know, for 10 to 20% off.
I believe The Ordinary is never included in the Sephora sales.
Ding, ding, ding. I didn't know that. Possibly because the price point is already
so low. Listeners, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I have looked into this and been like, oh, That makes sense for that exact reason.
Goodness me. Okay.
All right. Switching gears as we do.
We received so much feedback for this teacher who was feeling unappreciated at their job.
Yes.
And this is just the tip of the iceberg of the wonderful suggestions we got.
Okay, I'm going to play this voicemail.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I am calling in response to a caller who was having issues feeling unappreciated or underappreciated at her job. And I just wanted to call because I really relate to that. I'm also an art teacher. A couple of years ago, just to keep a long story short, I had a meeting that really changed my perspective of what I was within that sort of working community. And it seemed like I was replaceable and that I was not as valued as I thought I was. So in response to the caller and sort of as my own response to the things that I was going through, I have two solutions. One is short-term and the other is long-term. The short-term solution is to get yourself a self-care box. It's kind of like my first aid kit when I am feeling that way. So I think I first started, I had like mints and rose water mist, and whatever I needed to just kind of remind myself that like I can take 2 seconds and like mist my face, and feel a little bit better and feel a little bit appreciated. And then the second thing, the long term, is that nothing is permanent. Either things are going to change where you work or you're going to find something better that treats you better. And I don't think it hurts to keep looking for another job or something where you think you'll either get more out of it or you'll be more valued. So build your resume, kind of build that up as an armor, and so that you don't need this job. So those are two suggestions I have. And I hope that things get better for you and you'll get through it. All right. Thank you. Bye.
I love the idea of a self-care box.
Whoa. Me too. I mean, you know, the second I heard that they were misting themselves for self-care, I was like, we are cut from the same cloth.
We are simpatico.
Yet truly, like a little bit of just like a lavender oil roll-on, I find very calming.
Yeah.
Some sort of like positive affirmation something.
I feel like you could get really into this.
I would like to make a self-care box.
Ooh.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. If I made one, would anyone want it?
Yeah.
Let me know.
Hello. Oh. I'm right here.
Do you want me to make you one?
God. It's like I'm invisible.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I think that's a really, you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
I thought this was great. And also, yeah, like keep your eye out for a new.
Totally. Yeah. I think that's just good advice across the board.
Anytime.
All right. Here's one more voicemail about these issues.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm Carissa from Pennsylvania, and I am calling in response to Kate, the art teacher from Kansas City, who is feeling overwhelmed and underappreciated in her job. I have been a teacher myself, working in the field for about 12 years now, so I know exactly what that feels like. One of the biggest things that I can say is that this art teacher needs to get herself what I like to call a bad day folder. That can either be in print or it might be something on her computer, maybe an email or something like that. But every time she receives a kind note from a parent, a student, a fellow administrator or colleague, that goes in the bad day folder. And so when you are feeling underappreciated or overwhelmed with your job or just having a really bad day in general, you just get that bad day folder out and it really reminds you how much of a difference you are making in someone's life or some student's life. And that makes a huge difference on days like that when you just feel like, why am I doing this and what is this for? The second one I definitely have to recommend is Just for this art teacher, maybe she might want to think about showing some appreciation for others, because it's that kindness circle that kind of just goes around and around. So showing your appreciation for others, like your fellow librarian on Librarian Week, and or Teacher Appreciation Day, maybe having her kids in art class make a picture for the teachers that they appreciate, or maybe on Dot Day they celebrate their students and fellow colleagues or whatnot. And I think that once she starts to do that, once she starts to show that gratitude towards her fellow colleagues, I mean, she might start to notice that others are reciprocating and showing that appreciation towards her. And I feel like that is just going to create a world of difference for the culture of her school, number one, and also for her gratitude practice and for her to feel that appreciation in her work. I love the podcast. I listen all the time, and I hope this advice helps fellow teachers out there. So bye, guys. Thanks.
Self-care box in a bad day folder.
Put them in your like, what a great toolkit.
Yeah, totally.
Also, I'm like so thrilled that we have teachers who listen to this show.
Yeah, same. Teachers and librarians.
Yeah, thank you. That just like rocks my world. And we had lots of other teachers weigh in, including this next emailer.
Mm-hmm.
This Barb. We're going to be talking about a hair suggestion from Barb, but Barb also mentioned in their email, which we're not going to read this part, but that they're a teacher too.
Yeah. I mean,
we love Barb.
We love Barb. Barb is back, and she says, "It's me, Barb, your oldie but goodie fan from last season or maybe the year before. Listener asked about what to do for dried out hair. One suggestion I had and do is once a week mixing a bit of Neutrogena clarifying shampoo with some baking soda / make a paste. Rinse out, then use cream rinse or conditioner. It's the only way to really get rid of all the buildup, especially if you use products like I do. Puff Me hairspray, etc." What is Puff Me?
I don't know. I didn't Google it. Barb.
Googling it right
what
now.
What is Puff Me?
Puff Me is a volumizing cloud mist.
Who makes it? Is the company called Puff Me?
It is made by a company called Design.me.
Barb, send us a picture of your bathroom it's for, in your vanity.
For volume for normal to coarse hair, the first ever volumizing powder spray in a pump.
I'm intrigued.
Odor and mess-free. It said it's made for normal to thick hair. Would not be good for me. I'm going to pass on Puff Me. But I'm intrigued.
And hey, Barb, we love hearing from you.
We do. So keep it coming.
Yeah, please. Weigh in. Send us pics of Puff Anytime. Me. I'm very curious about Puff Me.
All right, we're going to take another short break.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author Elizabeth Gilbert about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
We are back.
There you go. You're getting it.
Feels weird coming out of my mouth.
Feels good though, right?
Yeah, I like the little pauses between the words.
It's like you're showing your enthusiasm.
I'm excited. Good. I'm really excited for this voicemail.
Okay, here we go.
Hi, Dory. Hi, Kate. It's Katie Shinton. I hope you can hear me. I'm at my son's swimming lesson, so the acoustics at this indoor pool are not great. But I had a question. I just remembered, literally just seeing an Instagram post, that I neglected to remember a wedding gift for a wedding we attended last summer. And I think it's a year. Is it 1 year where you can still send them a gift? It might have been before last summer. It was sometime last year, this wedding. I have to figure it out. Anyhow, I'm feeling, it's sort of like the thank you note thing. Like, I just feel like horrible if they know that we didn't get them a gift. But then when I got married, I didn't really keep track of gifts versus guests who attended or not. So anyhow, it just feels kind of weird to send one now. It feels so late, but it also feels weird not to send one because it's a really close friend. Somebody I don't see much, but, you know, just very close. We work together. Sorry for the long-winded voicemail. Anyhow, would love your thoughts as always. Thanks. Bye.
Send that gift.
Yeah, just send it. Don't worry about it.
Totally.
And you can just say like, hey, sorry. I forgot because life is busy, but I want to still honor your marriage.
Yeah.
Or celebrate you.
Yeah, totally.
And it doesn't have to be if their registry has been fully bought out or whatever. Send it. Just make a donation.
Yeah, just send something.
Yeah. No, and it's don't fine. Worry about it.
It is fine.
It's fine. I also like all that like bullshit etiquette that's made, like, that we feel stressed to follow, of like, you have 1 year and then after that year you're some
you
know, we're all humans.
I mean, you just sent a thank you note nine years later,
so
you know, it's fine.
Don't worry, Katie, you're doing great.
All right, do you want to read this last email?
Oh, don't mind if I do. The reason I'm emailing is because I would like advice as a recent college graduate and new nurse. I would love to hear advice from your nurse listeners on how best to take care of oneself as a nurse and how they coped in their first year of nursing. I know I'm heading into a career that will take a lot out of me, but I want to try my best to fill my cup and avoid burnout. Secondly, for both Kate and Dory, I know this is an incredibly personal question to ask, so I understand if it won't be answered. I know you both, well, guess what? It's being answered. I know you both have had very personal experiences in the healthcare setting, either as a patient or a family member. What were qualities or actions that nurses or any other healthcare worker had or did that stood out to you and made a hard, scary, emotional experience easier? I would deeply value your thoughts on this. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I have a lot of nurses in my family.
Do you?
I do. I have a few. My grandmother was a nurse. My aunt's a nurse. My cousin's wife is a nurse.
My mother-in-law is a nurse.
Oh yeah. Look at them. So we have nurses to draw from, but I would love, like, do you think there are Nurse Forever 35 listeners?
Oh, definitely.
That rocks my world.
I know there are Nurse Excellent Adventure listeners.
I will say my initial just feeling about nurses was formed as a caregiver for my mom.
Yeah.
So specifically, it was a lot of oncology nurses. Nurses are the best.
Totally.
They are truly amazing people. I love nurses. I think, you know, we had oncology nurses, we had hospice nurses, and then later I had experiences with nurses because I gave birth twice in a hospital and my first birth was kind of not so. I think the biggest thing is, like, one, take care of yourself because nursing is hard.
Totally.
And grueling and emotional, I'm sure. And two, like, just kindness and empathy and an understanding that, like, for a lot of people, what's happening is scary, even if it's something that, like, may not seem like a big deal, like getting a IV put in or something.
Yeah.
You know, just always having understanding that your patients, you know, might be scared. It sounds like the fact that you're asking this makes me feel like you're going to be great.
Totally.
Dory, thoughts on nurses?
Yeah. I mean, I think empathy is the number one thing, and just kind of putting yourself in the patient's shoes. Like, they might be in pain. They might not have slept for a couple days. I'm just thinking about, you know, when I was in the hospital after giving birth to Henry.
Yeah.
It was the first time I had stayed overnight in the hospital. And, you know, it was very unfamiliar. I was sort of out of it, in a lot of pain. And the nurses were just amazing. And what I appreciated was, even when they were busy, they were always caring, and they never seemed like they were, you know, rushed. Mm. If they couldn't, like, get to me within a couple minutes, they always were apologetic. And I never felt like I was in, like, a hospital factory.
Yeah.
You know? Also, like, little things when people sort of go above and beyond is always appreciated. It might not seem like a big deal to you, but I think it is a big deal to patients. I'm just thinking specifically of when, you know, I was 12 hours into my 40-hour induction, and we asked if we could switch rooms, which, like, is normally frowned upon, and a nurse, like, made it happen.
Hey, nurse.
Yeah, and that was awesome.
Yeah, I think one thing, by the way, I can hear Henry just weighing in the background.
He's like, I was there.
I love nurses. A lot of my mom's nurses, like, got to know her and knew her name, and that is very meaningful. And I imagine it's very hard to keep track of all the patients that you have coming in and out, and things change. But I think to feel seen when you are receiving medical care is so important, because it can feel so daunting. And to just feel seen and cared for in that way, I, like, could start crying. If you are a nurse at Mass General, I just need you to specifically know, I love you so much.
Aww.
But they were just so amazing. And even my mom's, like, oncologist sent us a message after she passed. Like,
aww, that's so
that
nice.
Kind of stuff, I think, can be really nice.
Yeah.
Like, to feel like they know you.
Yeah. And to feel like a human.
Yeah. But also, like, you know, I liked when I was giving birth, like, the you would have your nurse's name, like, written on a little thing in the wall.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of, I don't know, you want to be, like, buddy buddies with them.
It's those, like, really simple things of just, like, human connection that I think are important.
Yeah. And I would love to hear from other nurses to answer your first question of how to care for yourself.
Yeah.
As a nurse.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
Gee willikers.
Well, we are done.
We are. Thank you all so much for listening and writing us and voicemailing us. And
following up.
Yeah, we love it all.
We really appreciate you.
And we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.